Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome. The spirit in me greets the spirit in you on what must be a long weekend. Yes. So listen, we're cozy in here together. You're all invited if you want to. You know, you can cozy up to the front. We can congregate ourselves that way, whatever you're comfortable with. But I'm really glad that you are here. This is the first Sunday in the sacred season of Lent, and we will open this sacred time together, and it is good to be together. My name is Kristen. I think everyone here knows me. I'm not seeing any new faces this morning. And joining me in leadership today is our organ scholar, Cadence Brassard. And our cantor this morning is Catherine Morrow. Here at Rosedale United Church, we're committed to supporting human flourishing in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. We gather each week to learn and to grow and to serve. And we're proud to be an affirming congregation here representing a variety of ages and gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. And as the City of Toronto and Canada are celebrating Black History Month this February, you have been and will continue to hear us celebrating the work of Black artists in our music. And each week I've been trying to weave in the work of a Black artist into my reflection. So we'll gather for tea, coffee, warm up after the service. I'm not seeing any kids here, but if ever you've got your grandkids or friends of kids with you, Emma's at the back. She takes the kids downstairs at the greeting of the peace. From the Rosedale Hub, some news. We're holding a weekly cooking club Wednesdays, getting through the last 5 weeks now of winter together. And we're basically just, each week we're cooking a different soup together. And it's always vegetarian so that we're, you know, everyone can be accommodated that way. We try out a new recipe. It's a suggested donation of $15, and that just goes to cover the cost of the food. And this past week we gathered. It was really fun. Mimi was there. It was just a wonderful time to cook together, especially if you are at home on your own a lot. For me, I'm working on my own a lot, and it is really wonderful just to get together and to cook. So I invite you this week, and you don't have to feel like, oh, I can't come to every single session, you know, I won't show up. No, seriously, you could pop in this week and then not come again, and that would be totally okay. It's meant to be something you just pop into. No Mi Re Do choir school tomorrow because of the family day holiday. And I think that is it for my hub announcements. In this land, we are on the territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River. We are bound to Indigenous neighbors and their fate. We are grateful to gather on this territory. And we pray to learn to live out our commitments to truth and reconciliation and to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and to cast a better future for all. In this spirit, next week, we will be hosting all of the youth who this past summer participated in the Gibbemish-Cataman canoeing, paddling together canoe trip. We will also be hosting, and they're coming from all across the Canada. The Indigenous peoples are representative of the whole coast to coast, and then we have youth from the Shining Waters region who will also be joining. And so we're going to celebrate this trip that they all did together. The moderator of the United Church of Canada will also be present. She went on the trip as well, along with other dignitaries from the United Church. We'll be hosting them all for breakfast. We are still looking for some hands-on help there, so if you can do that next Sunday morning, just a lovely time to greet these young people and the fabulous reconciliation work that they're doing, and to show up for the dignitaries of the United Church as well. Sue Vanstone is at the back, and she can connect you if you're someone who can help with volunteering. All right. So in the spirit of Jesus Christ, who calls us to be the church and to celebrate God's presence, let us worship. I invite you to stand as we join together. Stand as you're able and join in our call to worship. Lent is an opportunity for spiritual spring cleaning. Time to consider them, organize them, and make decisions. As we prepare to move into a time of new joys and new uncertainties, let us worship together, in part because it strengthens our resolve. Lent is a sacred season, and we're invited to reassess our lives and to notice where they've fallen out of alignment with God's love and God's justice. And each week during Lent, we mark time with these tenebrae candles. We have 6 Sundays until Easter, and every week we will extinguish one of these candles. Friends, we sing together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. Thank you. Friends, Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered, I am there. And so we greet one another this morning with the peace of Christ. I especially encourage you, if there's someone you haven't seen for a while or someone you don't recognize, greet this person. We say, peace be with you and also with you. Our beautiful flowers this morning are in loving memory of Jim Spence. And so, Wilma, we are holding you this morning, and we are with you. An invitation into a time of silence as we gather ourselves for prayer. And in a moment, you're going to hear a sung response that will be adding to every week as we progress and make this journey together through Lent. So I invite you, after a few moments of silence, and you'll hear Catherine sing it, just to listen. The tune will be familiar to you. And then after we've had our gathering in prayer, you'll hear it again. And if you're comfortable, you're invited to join in. And so we just come into our bodies a little bit. I feel like moving my shoulders. I'm seeing Anne Simmons, and she always reminds me to come into my body and just breathe. We're here. It's the end of the week, it's the beginning of the week, and this is our time to just recenter. And so we enjoy the gift of silence. God of the past and present and future, mother and father of us all, we come before you today mindful of your covenant with us, of the promise you have made to protect every living creature, a promise that affirms your close relationship with and concern for all of creation. As we take our first tentative steps out of the shadows of the past and through this journey and into a new future, help us to honor your presence. Renew our relationship with all your living creatures. And make us aware today of the possibilities inherent in this new start. Help us to watch confidently for your rainbow assurance of new life and new beginnings.
You are these land and days and nights.
We pray in the name of Jesus, who took accountability and responsibility for all life on earth, and who taught us to say together, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In the desert, God sustains us, sending angels to minister to us. Hear this good news. So opening the theme together, this is the first Sunday in the Christian season called Lent. It's 40 days before Easter, and 40 is just a symbolic number in Judaism and Christianity, and you can take it to mean the right amount of time to accomplish what needs doing. And Lent is a springtime season in the Northern Hemisphere, and indeed the English word Lent has its root in an ancient word for spring, lengthen, a word that might refer to the steady lengthening of daylight hours at this time of year. The work of the natural world in this season is to gather the vital energy it needs from the sun's increasingly available light in order to revitalize itself and grow. And the season's invitation to our souls is similar. What do we need in order to grow as spiritual people? As the natural world is enlivened and awakened by an increase in daylight hours and sunshine, so we are invited through Lent to revive ourselves. So the theme question today for you to ponder, and this again is just silently within your own heart, what do you need to do this season in order to grow into the good creation that you are created to be? What do you need to do in this season to grow into the good creation that you are created to be? I invite you to ponder while Cadence plays. You're invited into our first prayer of confession.
Merciful and generous God, we come before you, conscious of our brokenness. We are ashamed and sorry for the wrong we have done and the good we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not even loved ourselves very well. God of mercy, forgive us.
We know that your beautiful world suffers from greed and injustice. Children have only tears for food, and the forests groan in distress. And we know that our comfort, our standard of living, depends on the suffering of others and the abuse of the planet. These things disturb us. Yet we confess that we have not protested as we ought, or rushed to combat these evils as we should. Make us braver, Lord, to speak out and act.
God of mercy, forgive us.
Loving God, you call us to be your church, a witness to the power of love in the world. But even here, we have not been faithful. We have not known how to work out our differences without painful conflict. And we have held on to our anger and hurt far too long. Set us free from these old wounds and draw us together into one community dedicated to your purpose. God of mercy, forgive us.
Now, merciful God, we come to you in silence. You already know the wrong that weighs us down, the guilt we cannot shake. And we ask you to take them from us now and set us free to begin a new life.
God of mercy, forgive us.
A reading from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and our descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as come out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth," God said. "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all the future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant, and I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the witness of the Hebrew scriptures. Thanks be to God."
The story of Noah and the ark is one of the most ancient stories in Scripture. And it takes place after God has created the earth and all living things, including humans. And in the Jewish and Christian creation story, God proclaims life to be good. But very soon after, according to these ancient stories, everything starts to go bad. In the very first family, brother turns against brother. Cain kills his brother Abel. And as humans grow in number, so too, it seems, does their propensity for corruption. The realization God has just before the story of Noah begins is this, according to the book of Genesis: how great the wickedness of the human race has become on earth. Heartbroken, God sees that every inclination of the and thought of the human heart was only evil all the time, it says in the story of Genesis. It was as though God's creation was malfunctioning. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people had corrupted their ways, it says in Genesis. And in the story, God makes the heart-rending decision to start creation over again. In the story, there is one good human who God goes to great lengths to protect, and this is Noah. And God orders Noah to build an ark, a kind of massive boat, and to take himself and his family and every kind of bird and mammal and insect, every kind of living creature onto the ark, two of every kind. And a flood comes and covers the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And when Noah releases a dove from the ark and it comes back with an olive branch in its beak, then Noah knows that it's safe to come out. And this time, God is determined to set humans up for success. One word will define how life will thrive in this new world: accountability. God tells Noah that humans are responsible for protecting life on this planet. From each human, I will demand an accounting for the life of their fellow human, God says in the story. For in the image of God has God made humankind, God says. Remember. And then we get to the part of the story we read today, which is about what God will remember, God's reminder to humans. God promises to protect life on this planet forever. In Jewish tradition, it's said that every living thing, even the tiniest blade of grass, has an angel of God set over it to watch it and encourage it to grow. And the sign of God's promise and reminder to humanity will be a rainbow. Every time humans see a rainbow, according to this ancient story, we're meant to remember God is protecting life on this planet. God is protecting life on this planet. But the story of Noah is one that Jewish and Christian traditions continue to tell in order to make us ask, what about us? How are we showing our sense of accountability to other humans and our sense of responsibility for all living creatures? On a cold afternoon this past week, I went into the Art Gallery of Ontario to see an exhibition by a local artist named June Clark, and it's still on, this exhibit, and I encourage you to go and see it. It's called Unrequited Love. And Ms. Clark has lived in Toronto since 1968, but in this exhibit, she goes back to examine her roots growing up in the United States. June Clark grew up in Harlem in New York City, and her work in this exhibit is a study of human accountability and responsibility using the symbol of the American flag. As a child, June Clark had to pledge allegiance to this flag, as does every American child in school. And she remembers feeling a deep pride and conviction in the promise represented by this symbol, liberty and justice for all. It's beautiful. But growing up as a Black child and growing into becoming a Black woman, the symbol of the flag that she loved and the ideals of her country, she says, she didn't feel the love back. She felt unrequited in her love, and that's where you get the name of the exhibition. She dedicated the exhibition to Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL player, ousted from the league for going down on one knee during the playing of the U.S. national anthem at the start of football games, in order to make the point that the notion of liberty and justice for all in the U.S. has been corrupted by racism and inequality. And that's not unique to the United States. We know that we grapple with the same things here in Canada. In one piece in the exhibit, Clark creates an American flag from pieces of rusted metal. In another, the flag hangs in a curtain of precisely cut shreds. It's a powerful exhibit that makes exactly the same point as the story from our book of Genesis. The vision of a thriving creation depends entirely upon our ability to live out one word, accountability. For the world to be how God envisions it, a good world, a world of beauty and mystery, of living things, diverse and interdependent, as it says in our song of faith, then it's on us to do our part to protect it from corruption and corrosion. Thriving life on this planet depends upon every human being being accountable to life and taking responsibility for each other's flourishing. The invitation of this season of Lent is to remember. I invite us to stand as we sing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God."
We do not live by bread.
from lack of reverence for truth and beauty, from a calculating or sentimental mind, from going along with mean and ugly things. Holy One, deliver us.
From cowardice that dares not face truth, laziness content with half-truth, or arrogance that purports to know it all. Holy One, deliver us.
From being pompous or rude, from cynicism about others, from intolerance or cruel indifference. Holy One, deliver us.
From being satisfied with things as they are, in the church or in the world. From failing to share your outrage about injustice.
Holy One, deliver us. From selfishness, self-indulgence, or self-pity. Holy One, deliver us.
From token concern for the poor, for lonely or loveless people. From confusing faith with good feeling or love with wanting to be loved. Holy One, deliver us.
For everything in us that may hide your light.
Holy One, light of life, forgive us.
Amen.
A reading from Psalm 25, translated by Nan Merrill. Compel me to know your ways, O love. Instruct me upon your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For though you will know wholeness, I shall reflect your light both day and night. I know of your mercy, Blessed One, and of your conditional love. You have been with me from the beginning. Forgive the many times I have walked away from you, choosing to follow my own will. I seek your guidance once again. I yearn to know your peace. Companion me, and I open in your will. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Again, we're invited to stand as able, and we're singing Spirit Open My Heart. We'll sing the chorus, and then verses 1, 2, and 3 back to back, and then the chorus. So chorus, 1, 2, 3, chorus.
My love, my God, my story.
A reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tested by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the witness of the early church. Thanks be to God.
One of my favorite books and films, incidentally, is the book Wild by Cheryl Strayed, and many of you may have read it or seen the film starring Reese Witherspoon. It's a memoir, a true story about a woman who decides to go into the wilderness alone to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, which is a hiking trail that runs the length of the entire Western United States from Mexico to the Canadian border. And she begins in the Mojave Desert and walks all the way to Oregon along the Sierra Nevada and Cascade Mountain ranges. The wilderness in the memoir Wild is a harsh place. It devours hiking boots and refines the body as fire refines clay. And Ms. Strayed isn't an elite athlete. Before starting out on her trek, she'd never hiked a day before in her life. In the Gospel of Mark, it says the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. And in her memoir, Cheryl Strayed is likewise driven. She goes into the wilderness as one kind of person, and she's hoping that she will emerge as another kind of person entirely. Before she goes into the wilderness, Miss Strayed was experimenting with harsh drugs and hooking up with people who didn't respect her. She was living a kind of life where she didn't recognize herself anymore. The core of herself felt like this flame that had almost died out and was needing oxygen if it was going to burn brightly again. It's when her mother dies that she's truly driven and compelled to go into the wilderness. She goes to find her way out of the woods, she writes, and to find a way to become the woman her mother believed her to be. Cheryl Strayed went into the wilderness to recover her sense of integrity and self, the person she was created to be. Jesus was driven to the wilderness after his baptism to think about his own integrity and sense of self and the person he was created to be. "You are my Son, whom I love," he hears God tell him at his baptism in the Jordan River. "With you, I am well pleased," God says. Jesus was one kind of person coming into his baptism, but the question for him was, who was he called to be now? He was driven to the wilderness in order to find out. Our season of Lent is modeled after Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness and Noah's 40 days in the ark, and it's meant to invite us into as much introspection as Cheryl Strayed had on her journey along the Pacific Crest Trail. Here we are invited to ask ourselves, Are we living as the people we are created to be? What would help us regain a sense of integrity? What do we need to feel whole again? What do we need to bring about in ourselves to honor the long line of ancestors who've created us? In the wilderness, we encounter tough questions about ourselves, but it's in asking the tough questions that we find our way out of the woods and through to transformation. We have a moment now, a third prayer of confession. But this one is personal. If you flip over your bulletin, you'll see the invitation just on the other side of the page. You were all hopefully given a blue sticky note as you came in and a pencil. And if you like, this is entirely invitational. You don't need to take part, but if you like, you're invited to write on that little sticky note something that you would like to unburden yourself from. Maybe something that's getting in the way of your own compassion, your own awareness. You're invited to write that on the piece of paper. As Catherine sings, you can take a moment to reflect. And again, this isn't going to be shared with anyone. This is just for you. Will you join with me in our response and our offering? We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. So the gesture that we're invited into today, and this is invitational, if you're comfortable, you're invited to come up in this moment, kind of as you would come up for communion. You can take the burden you've written on your piece of paper, and as a symbol, you can rip it up and put it into our jar here. And today, in honor of the start of Lent, Ash Wednesday was this past week, you can, if you're comfortable, if you want to, receive the mark of ashes, which is a reminder that we are dust, and dust is God's creative material. If you would like this reminder for yourself, you can come, you can receive it on your hand or on your forehead. So the invitation is open for you to use this time as you need to. We also have an offering box at our back. If you feel moved to make a contribution to the life and work of this community, you can do that as well. You're also welcome to just sit and enjoy the music as Cadence plays. Friends, we stand and sing. We're going to sing verses 1 and 5. Lord, you give the Great Commission. Anyone in Christ becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything becomes fresh and new. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the world, in the church, and in our lives. May the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit continue to bless us on our Lenten journey. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we sing our blessing to each other.
Gentle Lord.